Amen. I said amen. For some, maybe, I think this is probably part four or so, we have been speaking about understanding the finished works of Christ. Amen. I said amen. Is your business not working? I'm not hearing it very well. Understanding the finished works of Christ, and today, I think today should be part four of our discussion. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to our foundation scriptures. Our foundation scriptures can be found in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 verse 34. Glory be to God in the highest. I said, glory be to God in the highest. Are you sure this thing isn't working? It's not sounding very well. John chapter 4, verse 34, and John 17, verse 4. John chapter 4, verse 34. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do what? The will of him that sent me and to what? Then John 17 verse 4. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Amen. Amen. I have what? Finished the work that you gave me to do. This is Jesus speaking on finishing the work that the Father sent him to do. Jesus speaking prophetically again in John chapter 4 verse 34 that his meat, his heart desire is to accomplish the will of him that sent him and to finish his work. And we have been speaking about understanding the finished works of Christ. Amen. Amen. Say after me tonight. Say, Holy Spirit, once again, open my eyes. Come on, say, let's say, open my eyes of understanding. Help me to comprehend your word tonight. Let every burden be lifted. And let every yoke be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you have been following this series, understanding the finished works of Christ simply talks about understanding our redemption in Christ. We have a redemption in Christ. Our redemption in Christ talks about our deliverance, talks about our liberation from the power of the enemy. I've explained to you what the word redeem or the word redemption means. We have explained all of that. There's no how you talk about understanding the finished works of Christ without not talking about the things that Christ accomplished by his death, by his burial, and by his resurrection. Amen. I said amen. You need to be aware of the things that Christ has accomplished for us through his death, through his burial, and his resurrection. That is the basis of our faith. That is the basis of our Christianity. And listen, if you are going to live the kind of life that God ordained and purposed for you to live, you must know what happened between the cross and the grave and his resurrection. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. And that is what this message is all about. Redemption is something that you need to be aware of. We have been ransomed. We have been delivered from the power of the enemy. Christ has made available for us what I call certain packages. Packages that belongs to you now in Christ. There's no way you talk about our redemption without not making mention of these packages. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. And today, by the special grace of God, I think I have shared with you about seven of those major things that Christ accomplished for us through his death, through his burial and resurrection. Amen. As a way of refreshing our mind, the first thing I mentioned to us, that Christ has redeemed us from the power of Satan. Say after me, say, I have been redeemed from the power of Satan. Now you must know that you are not under the influence, you are not under the power of the enemy anymore. You have been liberated from the power of Satan. The second thing that Christ redeemed us from is that he redeemed us from the power of hell and death. Hell and death does no longer have any power or influence over our lives. Jesus said in Revelations 1 verse 18, he says, behold, I am he that liveth and he that was dead, and I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. Amen? Amen. I said amen. So we need to understand that we have been redeemed from the power of hell and death. The third thing that our redemption package is made up of is that we have also been redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease. Amen? We have been liberated from the curse of sickness and disease. The Bible says in Galatians 3 verse 13, Christ has what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 15 down to the end, you will see the curses of the law. You can subdivide those curses into three. You have what we call sin and death. That's the first one. You have sickness and disease. And the third one is poverty and lack. But part of the things that Christ has redeemed us from is that he has redeemed us from the curse of sickness and disease. So tap your neighbor, say that's part of your redemption package. So that means that sickness and disease does no longer have any grip or influence over our lives. Amen? Then I also went on to share with you the fourth thing that Christ accomplished for us by his death and burial and resurrection, that he redeemed us from the curse of sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. Romans 6 verse 14 says, sin shall have no more what? Dominion over us, because we are not under the law, but we are under grace. Say after me, say, I have been redeemed. Say, I have been redeemed from the curse of sin. Then we also went ahead to look at, that's number 5, Christ has also redeemed us from the curse of poverty and lack. The Bible says that it became poor. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. It became poor so that you can become rich. So the power of poverty, the power of lack has been broken over our lives in Jesus' name. In fact, the Bible also make mention, Psalm 105 that I told us some weeks ago, verse 37, the Bible says to us that it brought them forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among the tribe. Amen? Amen. So the covenant of prosperity and abundance is part of our redemption package. Say after me, say, I have been redeemed. Say, I have been redeemed from the curse of poverty and lack. Then number 6, I also shared with us that Christ has made us to sit together with him now in heavenly places. Amen? Amen. We have been made to sit with Christ where? In heavenly places. Heavenly places is the highest place of authority, is the highest place of power and dominion in the entire universe. This is part and parcel of our redemption package. Amen? We are seated with him. You are seated in the highest place of authority, the highest place of power. You are seated with Christ. You share in his rulership. You share in his power. You share in his dominion. And you are born to reign and rule in life in Jesus' name. I explain what it means to be seated with Christ. Then I think where we stopped is that Christ has restored us back unto God. Amen. Listen to this. You have divine access to God right now. The lines of communication has been opened. God is not far away from you. Amen. I said God is not far away from you anymore. You can access God anytime, anywhere. The Bible says, let us therefore come how? Boldly. Hebrews 4 verse 16. To the throne of grace that we may find grace and mercy to help when? In the time of need. So say after me. Say, I have been accepted in the beloved. Say, I have been restored back. Say, I have been restored back. I've been restored back to divine favor with God. Listen, God is no longer angry with you if you're a child of God. Because through the blood of Jesus, Ephesians 2 verse 13 says, those of us who have been far have been made near. Amen, somebody. Sometimes say, I am close to my Father. Say, my Father is close to me. Listen, it's important for you to understand the finished works of Christ if you're going to ever reign and rule upon the earth. Romans 5 verse 17 says, those who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through Jesus Christ. God did not call us to a life of being subjugated. If you're a child of God, the dominion mandate has been restored back through Jesus Christ. And you ought to reign and rule in life. And that is your heritage. I said that is your heritage. That is your portion in the name of Jesus. That is why you need to know what Christ had accomplished by his death. You must have, you must know what he has provided, for you and I. By his resurrection. You cannot take advantage of what you don't know. John 8 verse 32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Shall set you free. It's important for us to know that God wants us to live a higher and a superior life. And I speak to you tonight, everything that is making you to live below the life that Christ made available, the life that Christ procured for you, is terminated tonight in the name of Jesus. You will catch a revelation tonight. You will have an encounter with him tonight that will make you to begin to walk upon your high places in Jesus' name. Listen, understanding is a wellspring of life to him that has it. That's what the Bible says. When you have understanding, you have an edge. When you have an understanding, you have an advantage. And your understanding of your redemption rights, your redemption privileges, will put you upon your high places in Jesus' name. So, what has Christ accomplished? What did he accomplish for you and I? His death, his burial, his resurrection, what has he made available? I want us to listen very carefully to me tonight and follow me tonight. Because I'm trusting God that as somebody here tonight, your eyes of understanding shall be opened in Jesus' name. I said, Christ will grant you a revelation that will bring about a transformation of your status in Jesus' name. If you're still here, say amen. So what has Christ accomplished for us by his death? What has he made available again? What did he accomplish in his redemption for you? If you are ready, say, I'm ready. That is point number what now? Number eight. Christ has also given unto us his eternal life. This is very important. Listen to me and listen well. One of the things that happened when you gave your life to Christ is that Christ imparted unto you is eternal life. Eternal life is called so many names in the Bible. Eternal life is called everlasting life. It's called Zoe life. What is Zoe? Zoe is the God kind of life. There is what we call the physical life or the biological life. The word bios, B-I-O-S, is a Greek word from where you get the word biology. Amen, somebody. Bios life talks about the physical, the natural life. Amen, somebody. But you see, God did not create you to just live a physical, natural life alone. Don't forget, man is a spirit. He has a mind and lives inside where? A body. I mean, he has a soul rather and lives inside a body. So there's more to your life. There's also what we call the psychological life. Now that is the soulish kind of life. The life that is based on the state of your mind. Now that's not the kind of life that God wants us to live alone. There's a higher life. Amen, somebody. I said there's a higher life. That life is called Zoe. Someone says Zoe. Zoe means the God kind of life. And you see, right now, for every born again child of God, you have the life of God on the inside of you. Say, I have the life of God on the inside of me. Look at your neighbor and say, if you're a child of God, you carry the life of God. Do you know the meaning of that? The kind of life that God has, the kind of life that God lives, is not possible for you. Jesus said in John 10 verse 10, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. But I am come that you may have what? Life. And have it how? More abundantly. You see that word life there is the word Zoe. Amen, somebody. Jesus came so that you can have the Zoe life. Amen. He wants you to have that life in abundance. What does that mean? The primary goal of God is that the life of God should dominate every area of your life. Should dominate your mind, dominate your body, dominate your marriage, dominate your business, dominate your studies, dominate your profession. The life of God is supposed to dominate every area of our lives. This is part of what Christ has made available. Listen, eternal life is available now. Amen? And you see, eternal life is the highest, is the best kind of life that is available. The capacity to live like God, to act like God. Eternal life is what makes available to you the nature of God. Amen, somebody? Amen. Without the nature of God, you cannot copy God. You can't act like God. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, be ye imitators. Be ye imitators of God as what? Dear children. You cannot copy God without his life. It takes having the life of God for you to act righteous, behave righteous, and do right. Amen? Amen? And if you're a child of God, that life of God is available to you. It is part of what Christ has accomplished by his death. There's a song to sing in those days. It says, I have the life of God in me. I have the Spirit of God in me. I have what? The Spirit of the Son of God. So look at your neighbor and say, the life of God dwells in you now. I don't know whether you catch a revelation I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your physical life or soulish life. I'm talking about the life of God. What makes God to be God? That part of him is in you. Amen? Amen. There's a scripture I think Jesus was speaking. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he was the embodiment of the Zoe life. He said in John 6 verse 63, he says, the words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit and life. Literally, that means the word that I speak to you, they are life-giving spirit. Peter said, when Jesus asked them in verse 67, it says, will you also go away? When some people walked away from Jesus, then Peter said in verse 16, he says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The words of Zoe. Amen, somebody. Jesus was Zoe personified. Amen. Go to 1 John quickly. I want to show you something. 1 John 1. 1 John 1 from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our eyes have handled of the word of life, the word of Zoe. Say word of Zoe. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus here. Verse 2. For the life, the Zoe, was what? Manifested. And we have seen it. And we have what? We bear witness and show unto you that the eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto whom? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is the revelation or the embodiment of the life of God. And listen to me. He came purposely. Listen, John 10 verse 10, he came so that you can have Zoe. Amen? That's part of your redemption package. If you're a child of God now, you have the life of God in you. Amen? Shout out and say, the life of God is mine. Say, I have what it takes to behave like God. Say, I have what it takes to act like God. Eternal life is the incorruptible life. Eternal life is the divine life of God. And guess what? Eternal life is a gift. It's a free gift. Amen, somebody? When you gave your life to Christ, he impacted his nature and his life to you. It's part of what is available to you and I today. Amen? Sometimes we say, the life of God is mine. Top of the Bible say, I have the life of God in me. 1 John 2, verse 25, it says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. He made the promise of eternal life. This eternal life is available in his son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verse 11, it says, and this is the record that God has given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in his son. Amen. Jesus Christ. He said in verse 12, he that has the Son has life. Anybody that does not have the Son does not have the life of God. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Sometimes we say, the life of God is on the inside of me. This is part and parcel of your redemption package. The life of God is superior to the physical life. The life of God is superior to the psychological life. The life of God gives you the capacity to live like God. Amen? Amen. You know, Jesus basically took our life so that we can have his own life. And let me say this to you. You can walk upon your high places. I declare to you tonight that the capacity to act, the capacity to behave like Jehovah is yours in the name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, the gift of eternal life is yours now. Listen to this. You have what it takes to act like, behave like God. Nobody can act like God without his life. And glory be to God. That life is on the inside of me. I carry the life of God. I say I carry the life. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. I'm a partaker of the divine nature of God. Most people, the only kind of life that most people know is the physical life, the natural life, or the psychological life. But there's a higher life. I said there's a higher life. I said there's a higher life. And that life is in Christ. And that life is yours. I said that life is yours. I said that life is yours. Say after me tonight, say, I have received his eternal life. I carry the life of God. On the inside of me. Say, I am a partaker of his divine nature. If you believe that, say a better amen. Amen. Always know that that is part of your redemption package. That is part of your redemption right. The life of God is yours. Amen. Amen. That life is, you see, that's why Paul said in Romans 8 verse 11, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. What do you think the life of God is there to do? Is there to affect every area of your life? You know, the life of God is somebody who makes that person wiser. The life of God is somebody who makes that person smarter. Hello, somebody in the house. the life of God, he will make that person to make sound decisions. Amen. The life of God is superior. It's superior to the physical life. It's superior to the psychological life. That is why, listen to this, you are now at a higher pedestal. Amen, somebody? We are not supposed to be a low flyer. We are supposed to be a high flyer. Because the life of God dwells in you. Listen, there's a story I had about John G. Lake several years ago. John G. Lake, at a point in time, was a missionary to Africa, precisely South Africa. There was a time there was a plague that was known as the bubonic plague. People were dying. I mean, once you catch the virus, I mean, it's like death. There's no remedy. It was almost like the Ebola virus, sort of. But they discovered that John G. Lake was walking among the sick people, ministering to them. Instead of him dying, he was not showing any sign of even the symptom of the disease. And somebody asked him, what's happening? How come you're not afraid? This man said, I have the life of God. The Zoe. Amen, somebody. The life of God dwells in me. They said, well, we don't understand what you're saying. He said, I'll prove it to you. He said, the next time somebody dies of that bubonic plague, normally when people die, they vomit, you know, you can take the spit or the saliva out and you will see some of the virus of that disease. So somebody died in the process and they removed, the saliva, and they told them, they put the saliva under the microscope, they could see the viruses, walking and swimming, and they told them, put it in my hands. They said, what are you doing? Because the thought of that spit coming upon you will make you to be infected. He said, put it on my hands. And they put it on his hands. And they looked under the microscope. One after the other, those germs and virus begin to die. He said, the life of God is where? Inside. You see, where there is life, can there be death? That's why you need to know that what you carry. Listen, you live a normal life. That's good. You live a biological life. That's excellent. You can live on the soulish level, psychologically. That is good. But you have access to a higher life now. Hello, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, the life of God is on the inside of me. This is part of our redemption package. The life of God is yours now. Amen. That life is in you. It's in your spirit. And it's supposed to affect every area of your life. And that will be your testimony in Jesus' name. I said that will be your testimony in Jesus' name. The life of God that we have makes us to be a partaker of the divine nature. So understand also that Christ has given unto you his eternal life. Sometimes I have eternal life. Amen, somebody. This is part of our redemption package. What did Christ accomplish? Again, what did he accomplish by his death? Is burial and resurrection. Number 9. Christ also has impacted unto us his faith. Now hear me and hear me well. One of the things that you received as part of the, redemption package is the faith of God. Hear me. There's what we call natural faith or human faith. That's your own faith. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Are you here? Now, this is what? Hello? Are you here? What is this? Now, natural faith tells me that I can sit on this chair. Yes or no? That is what? Natural faith. Because it's based on what? I can see. Amen? And I know he has how many legs? Well, 2 legs, but at least well balanced. Amen, somebody. Now, if by any means this chair has 1 leg, do you think I can sit comfortably? Why can't I sit comfortably? Because my human faith will tell me, you may follow. It's not balanced. Yes or no? Now, natural faith is based on what you can see, what you can feel, what you can taste. But the faith of God is not based on what you see, what you feel, what you taste. In fact, natural faith says sin is what? But Bible faith, real faith, Supernatural faith says what? Hello? Are you still here tonight? Come on now. I say, are you still here tonight? If you are here, say, I'm here. You see, one of the things that people often say is this, I don't have faith. If you're a child of God, you're lying. You're lying. Because, listen, you have the faith of God now. You have the supernatural kind of faith. The same faith that created the universe is in you. And I'm going to show it to you in a minute. Okay, I don't want to quote the scripture. Let's go to Romans 10. Because at times quoting some of these things, people don't see the truth. Amen? I said, amen. Amen. Romans 10, are you there? Come on now. I said, Romans 10. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Very quickly, from verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe in your heart that Christ has what? Thou shalt be what? Talk to me. Thou shalt be what? For with the heart, man believes unto what? And with the mouth, confession is made unto what? For the scripture says, whosoever believes in him shall not be what? Jump to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Now, the Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto what? But with your mouth, confession is made unto what? Two things happen. Where you got born again? You believed what? The message of the gospel what? With your heart. And you confess what? The lordship of Jesus with your what? That's what made you born again. At that moment, God impacted unto you his supernatural faith. Listen, you cannot be born again without the faith of God. It was the faith of God that made you born again. Hello? Not natural faith, not human faith, not sense, knowledge, faith. You had the message of the gospel. You were convicted. Faith was born in your heart through the word you had. How does faith come? Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh how? By hearing. And hearing by what? So, one of the gifts. And listen. Faith is a gift. Oh, it's a gift. Just like eternal life is a gift. Just like righteousness is a gift. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. It says, for by grace are you what? Talk to me. By grace you are what? It says by grace you are saved through what? Faith. Not of your own selves. Lest any man should what? So, listen, when you got saved, you also received the faith of God. Are you in the house tonight? That's why Paul could say, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, we also having the same spirit of faith. Not a different kind of faith, the same spirit of faith. Therefore we speak. Hello? Are you in the house tonight? The same, say the same. The same kind of faith that he had, he gave you. Amen, somebody. Let me show you another example. Galatians 2 verse 20. Paul says, I have been what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ does what? Talk to me. Christ does what? And the life that I now live, watch this. The life that I live how? By the faith of who? I want to ask you a question. The life he was living, how was he able to live it? By his own faith? No. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for what? Listen, the life you are living now, you are not living by your own faith. It was his faith. He are living it by his faith. It was his faith that he gave you. Hello? There's no way you could have lived the life you are living now by your natural human faith. There's no way you can live the life. There's no way I can live the life I'm living now by my sense, knowledge, faith. No! It's beyond sense, knowledge. It's beyond human faith. It was God who impacted his faith unto you. So when you say, I don't have faith, you are lying. You have faith. In fact, you have the faith of God. You have the God kind of faith. It is part of your redemption package. Hello? Just like healing and health, just like righteousness and life, just like prosperity and peace, part of your redemption package is what? Faith. So tell you, let me say, you have faith. Sometimes I say, I have the faith of God. Okay, some people are still looking at me. Romans 12 verse 3. Paul says, I say through the grace that is given unto me to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think how? Soberly, according as God has dealt. To how many men? To how many men? Shout it. How many people? What is everyone? Everybody. And don't forget that the book of Romans was written to the Roman saints. So every child of God, God has dealt to you the measure. It didn't say a measure. The measure is the same. The same. Say the same. God starts all of us out on the same level. Now, what you do with your faith is now your responsibility afterwards. But God gave us all the same. Hello? If you see somebody today whose faith seems to be bigger and stronger, it's because they developed it. It's not that God gave them more faith than you. It's what you do with it that what? That matters. So what are you doing with your faith? You know, everybody can develop what we call six packs. Amen? Yes or no? You can be very fit. You can be very strong. Your muscles can come out. Amen. The problem is, are you going to work out? Are you ready to work out? That's where the problem is, working out. Say, Pastor Emi Forunseri, I can't do without not eating this. I can't. Listen, if you want to develop six pack, you can't just eat anyhow. Amen, somebody? Hello, somebody? You must have a disciplined and regimented diet. You must learn to work out and exercise. The people whose muscles are showing because they have exercised it. Your own faith muscle too can show if you start exercising it. Hello? But you cannot complain that God did not give you. He gave you. He gave us all the same. Are you in the house tonight? You know, one of the lies people have told, especially Christian, I don't have faith, I don't have faith, I don't have faith like Minister Kewu, I don't have faith like Pastor, I don't have faith. You have it. You have it. Somebody said, you have it. And you know, to make it interesting, he gave you his own kind of faith. Not an inferior faith, not a substandard faith, his own. You have his faith. You know, when you see what Jesus told the disciples in Mark 11:32, when he says have faith in God, you must understand that as of that time, he had not gone to the cross. He had not died. Hello? He had not paid the ultimate price for redemption. That's what we're telling them, have it. But you now, you have it already. Hello? Listen, if you catch the revelation what I'm saying today, your struggles with faith will be ended now. Because many people struggle with faith, thinking or assuming that they don't have faith, whereas they already have it. Work on your faith. You have it. Develop it. And you can take your faith to any level. It all depends on you. You can take it to any level. There's no restriction. There's no limitation. So you have the power to take your faith to the highest level. But stop saying that I don't have the capacity. Every child of God has the capacity to believe. And your faith will do wonders. Your faith will move mountains. Your faith will get things done. Listen, this is part of our redemption package. Amen? I said amen. You have the capacity to believe God. You have received the same kind of faith that he had. He gave it to you. It was part of the redemption package. You know, it will be very unfair on the part of God for him to expect us to do something that he has not given us capacity for. Glory be to God. I say, glory be to God. Say after me, say, I have the faith of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is part of our redemption package. You have faith. You have faith. You have it. The same kind of faith. I've said the same kind of faith. Same kind of faith. Same. Paul says, the life that I now, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. Not my own faith, his faith. He gave you his faith. Amen, somebody. God knew, God knows you will need faith. Because without faith, you can't walk upon your high faith. It takes faith to reign and rule. 4 John 5 verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even what? Your faith will overcome the world. Your faith will overcome every challenge. Listen to me and listen where Christ has impacted unto us his faith. So tap in and say, I have his faith. It's part of our redemption rights, our package. This is part of what he had accomplished. He died. He rose again so that you can have his faith. So start using it. I said start using it. And that faith will do wonders. Start using it. Little by little. Amen, somebody. You see it growing by leaps and bounds. Listen, most of the time, the reason people get disappointed at times because the faith they have not exercised all these years, they start exercising it for something big or bigger than them. Look at it and say, start believing small. Start from the little things. You see, if you don't start exercising it now, it can grow and it won't do wonders. The little things. Amen, somebody. You see, as your faith grows, as you exercise your faith, for malaria, you overcome. Exercise your faith for finances. Maybe 1,000 naira and it comes. You can exercise your faith for 10,000, for 100,000 and so on. Amen, somebody. But you have to start from somewhere. Amen, somebody. Tap it, say, start using it. Believe God, oh God, as I'm going, you open doors. If you don't exercise your faith now, how will it grow? You have the capacity to develop what I call exceedingly great faith. But you have to use it. Tap and say, use it. I don't want to spend more time on this, but part of our redemption package is that Christ gave us what? His faith. So tap and say, I have his faith. Number 10, what has he accomplished again through his finished works? Christ is now my intercessor. Listen, present day ministry of Jesus. If you ask me, or somebody asks you, what is Jesus doing now? Tap your neighbor and say, do you know what he's doing now? And someone say, he's in heaven. Tap your neighbor and say, I know that. Hello, somebody. But do you know his current ministry? His present day ministry? What he's doing now is that he's interceding for you and I. Oh, yes. He is in the presence of God for you and I. That's what the Bible says. Hebrews 7:25. The Bible says he is able to save them to the uttermost. Those who believe in him. Seeing that he ever. Someone say ever. This is his ministry forever. The Bible says he forever. There's not a day he will not do this. He forever lives to make what? Intercession for the saints. Let me show you another scripture. I don't want to quote it. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yes. That is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? What's he doing there? Who also maketh intercession for who? For us. Listen, what does it mean for Christ to be your intercessor? That means you have an advocate. You have somebody who is not just, listen, pleading your case. You have somebody who is there to argue your case. Somebody to defend your cause. He is praying. Why is he praying for you? Because you are his concern. Listen, it's good to know that somebody is praying for you. But listen, it's more refreshing to know that Jesus is praying for you. There's not a time that Jesus is not praying for you. Jesus has your back. Tell me, say, Jesus has your back. The Bible says he liveth. In fact, I think it's Hebrews 9:24. The Bible says he is in the presence of God for us. The reason he's appearing in God's presence is for you and I. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, I have a blessed intercessor. Say, have a blessed advocate. Listen, he's faithful, he's a reliable intercessor. Listen, when he prays, he gets answers. Hello, somebody. I don't think there's any better or higher intercessor than Jesus himself. Thank God for great intercessors that has come in our time, our age. But there's nobody that compares to Jesus. Jesus has your back. He is pleading on your behalf. You see, you know, Satan is called what? The accuser of the brethren. There are cases that Jesus has dealt with without your knowledge. Because the accuser of the brethren is always coming to what? To accuse us. That's the name. That's one of the names of Satan. The accuser. He will never stop accusing. But when he comes with his accusation, thank God we have an advocate. We have the a defender. Someone who is there. You know, one of the things that worked against Vashti was that there was nobody to speak for her where it mattered. In Esther, the first queen that was removed, Queen Vashti. You know, when they were determining her case, nobody could speak for her. Probably because of her character. Even somebody. Hello, somebody in the house? But listen, we all need people to speak for us. Why it matters. Amen? And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, where it matters. So even when Satan comes with accusation, in fact, let me say this, he has defeated several accusations of Satan concerning you. Listen, the reason you are standing today is not because you know how to do it. You are standing because you have an intercessor. You have a faithful intercessor. Someone who is there to defend your faith, to argue your case. Hello, somebody in the house. Listen, whatever you are going through now, it will end in praise. Listen. When you know you have somebody praying for you, you may be going through pains now. Listen, it will turn to power. Amen. Whatever you are going through now, know this, child of God. He has it under control. Amen, somebody. Listen, you may be weeping now, you will laugh later. Amen. Because we have a faithful high priest. The Bible says we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what you are going through now. He knows what you have to put up with. That's why he has made grace, more than enough grace available. That thing will not swallow you. You will tread upon that thing in Jesus' name. That thing will not dominate you. You will dominate it. Oh, I have an advocate with the Father. I have an intercessor. I have a comforter. I have a consoler. I have an encourager with the Father. He is my intercessor. He is your intercessor. He's there to plead your case. That's what he's doing now. He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So the reason you have not been swallowed and consumed is because of his intercession. Left for Satan. I mean, he will have had his way, but thanks be unto God. Because we have an intercessor. Listen, always know this. You have an intercessor. It doesn't matter how bad. Listen, even when you are too weak to pray for yourself, he's up there arguing your case. Hello, somebody. That's why you will walk through the fire. It will not burn you. You will pass through the water. The waters will not overwhelm you. Whatever you are going through now is for a while. Soon the pain will be over and the glory of God will be seen upon your life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say you have a blessed intercessor. Listen, you are never alone. We are never alone. Hear this, you are never alone. He knows. He understands. One of the roles of an intercessor is that an intercessor must be able to identify with the feelings or the pains or whatever you are praying. Listen, you cannot be a successful intercessor if you cannot enter the shoes of the person you are praying for. Listen, how did Jesus enter your shoe, my shoe? He came as a human being. God came as a son of man so that he wants to know what it feels to be a human being. Somebody was telling Jesus, God does not understand. He said, God does not know what it means to be single. I said, he knows. He came here, amen, and lived a single life. Amen, somebody. He didn't get married. Amen, somebody. So he knows what it means to live a single life. He knows what it means to be rejected. He knows what it means to be disappointed. He had been rejected. He had been disappointed. There's nothing you are going through now that he doesn't know. He knows. Not just because he's God, but he came as a son of man. He entered into your shoes. Jesus knows about hunger. He knows about lack. Yes, he knows about it. Hello, somebody. Listen to this. The day I was telling somebody, I said, the day you understand that whatever you are going through at any point in time, that God is always there with you, listen, you will rest and you stop contending and fighting. Amen? You know, at times the reason we are not resting is because we don't know. He said in Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know. Amen? Be still and what? And know that I'm God. Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. Look at your neighbor and say, you have a faithful intercessor. If you are sure about that, say amen, somebody. Let me run. How many have I given you now? We're looking at the finished works. These are the things that Christ accomplished. I want to say, okay, number 11. No, this is not in the original first 12 I gave you, but I just feel, let me share this, because this is also part of the things he did. Number 11. Christ has given unto us his Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a gift. What did I call it? A what? A gift. Just like eternal life was what? A gift. Righteousness is what? Talk to me now. Righteousness is what? It's a gift. It's not something you work for. So, the Holy Spirit, listen, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 39. Oh, sorry, 38, 39. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And he says, so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He now said, for this promise is unto you and to your son and to every other person that God was going to bring by faith. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say the Holy Spirit is part of your redemption package. Do you know that while Jesus was living, the person he sent to replace him here was the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. John 14 verse 16. That word another comforter, the word another means another of the same kind and quality. Not somebody different from him. That's why The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8 verse 9. He that does not have the Spirit of Christ is none of these. Listen. Jesus sent a replacement. Listen. He knows you need a companion for life. Hello, somebody. He has given you a companion that will never leave you nor forsake you. Who is that companion? The Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, you are never alone. Come on, tell him, I say, you are never alone. You know, as human beings, we even feel that we're alone. At times, you feel. Listen, we walk by faith, not by feelings. Whether you feel it or not, the Holy Spirit is with you. Whether you feel him or not, he's there. Hello? Listen, God is not a liar. Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not the man that should lie, neither the son of man that should repent. Has he said it, shall he not do it? Has he spoken, shall he not make his will come to pass? Whatever God says, he does. Amen? So, I want you to know that he has given us a blessed comforter. That's the name of the Holy Spirit. Comforter. Say comforter. The word comforter means somebody who has been sent alongside to help you. You have a helper for life. You are never without help. Never. As a child of God. At any point in time, you have him with you. God knows that you will walk through the wilderness of life. God knows that this world is a dark place and you need a companion. And part of your redemption package is that he gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. For your information, you see, when you got saved, you have the Spirit of God in a measure. John 3 verse 5, it says, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter the kingdom of God. Water, Spirit. Water talks about the water, Spirit talks about the Holy Spirit. Titus 3 verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing. Say washing. And regeneration of what? The Holy Spirit. You see, when somebody gets saved, they have a measure of the Spirit. But when you get baptized, you have the fullness of the Spirit. That's why he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem, Luke 24 verse 49, until you be endued with what? Power. So that's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is crucial for the fullness of the Spirit. But listen to me and listen good. Part of our redemption package is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, the Spirit is in you. The Spirit is with you. The Spirit is for you. Say, you are a carrier of His Spirit. You are a partaker of His Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know what, you see, helper, not just for spiritual things, helper in every area of life. Your finances, your marriage, your career, your studies, your academics, every area. Do you know there is nothing that the Holy Spirit does not know? I say that again. Do you know there is nothing that he does not know? He knows the hearts of men. Hello, somebody? He knows what is good and what is what? Listen, there's nothing that is hidden from him. You know, I always say this to people. If people understand the magnitude of what they have received or what they have, we'll start leaping for joy. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Say, you have a blessed comforter. Listen, you are not without help. You are never with. That's why you will never be stranded. I said, that's why you will never be stranded. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a blessed comforter. We have what? A blessed comforter. You are never alone. There's no area of your life, there's no area of your endeavor that you will not experience the help. The help of the Holy Spirit is available to you all the time. All you have to do is to call on him. Amen? I said amen. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Help is available. Somebody say, help is available to you. At any point in time, help is available to you and you will never be stranded in Jesus' name. I said you will never be stranded in the name of Jesus. But know this, part of our redemption package is what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Say after me, say, I am never without help. Say, I am never without help. Say, I am never without help. Number 12. What I say accomplished for us by his death and burial and resurrection, Christ has redeemed us from the law. Galatians 4 verse 5, what does it say? It says to redeem us from the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, Romans 10 verse 4 is a very, very powerful scripture. It says, Christ is the end of the law. The end of what? The law. For righteousness to everyone who believes. What does that mean? For every believer, Christ is the end of the law. Some of them say Christ is the end of the law. Who is the end of the law? I say, who is the end of the law? Now, you need to understand what the law means. At times we don't understand what the law means. And listen good. When we talk about laws, we are talking about do's and don'ts. We are talking about regulations. Amen, somebody. We are talking about the righteous requirements of the law that we cannot meet by our own human standard. Hello? There is no how you try. There is no how you strive. You can never meet up with the law in your power. Amen? In fact, the Bible says, if you keep all the law and you are guilty of one, you are what? You are broken all. It was tough for man to meet with the law. That's why Jesus came to redeem us from what? From the law. So what did he do? How did he do it? He became the end of the law for righteousness to all who believes. Okay, let me explain. When we say he has redeemed us from the law, we mean he has redeemed us from the power of the law. Hello? Some of them say, I've been redeemed from the power of the law. Romans 8, verse 1 to 4. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law could not do. Tap your name and say, the law has some limitations. There are some things the law could not do. It's just for what the law could not do. God, sending his own son in the likeness of sin and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You can see why I said Christ is the end of the law. Amen? In fact, Galatians 2 verse 16, Galatians 3 verse 11 says, under no circumstance shall any man be justified by the law. No man, no matter how much you try, you will always fall or fail. Jesus is the answer to the law. Amen, somebody? Hello, somebody in the house? Jesus is what? He is the answer to the law. He came, he offered himself as a sacrifice. You see, that's why our confidence now is not in our works. Our confidence is in his finished works. Your confidence now is not in what you can do. Because the law is all about performance. Amen, somebody? The law is all about your works, your deeds. Amen, somebody? You do this, then God will what? Do that. Amen? Are you in the house tonight? Our confidence is not in what we can do. The Bible says all our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. Our confidence now is not in what we can do, but in what he has done. What has he done? He has conquered Satan. He has conquered sin. The Bible said the strength of sin is what? The law. If he has conquered sin, then he has conquered the law. Are you in the house tonight? Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. That's why Paul says, we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit. We rejoice not in the flesh. Amen? It says we worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ. Our confidence is not in the flesh. Hello, somebody. That's why nobody can boast. Salvation is based on grace, not on what you can do. What is grace? God's riches at the expense of Christ. God has lavished his grace on you because of Jesus. You have access today. Access to come before his presence. Access to use the name of Jesus. Amen, somebody? Amen. Access, you are seated with him. It's not because of what you have done, it's because of what he has done. It's because of Jesus that we have access. Amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you are now under the dispensation of grace. Now, let me say something here. Very, very important. Grace does not give people the license to sin. Yeah, it doesn't. Because some people have misinterpreted the message of grace. Amen? Grace. So I know grace covers it. But that does not mean that you live recklessly. Amen, somebody. I'm going to show you something in a minute now. You see, what many people don't know is that what grace actually does, that grace gives you the power to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. Grace gives you the power to live above the law. Hello? Grace does not give you the license to sin. Grace gives you the power to live righteousness. I mean righteously rather. Amen, somebody. Hello? You know, I remember when I first got saved, I was trying to keep the Ten Commandments. I was stressing, trying. That's in my power. That shall not. So, you know, I was making all the effort. So after that, I said, we did this, you swear, never go. Because I was the one trying to do it. Amen, somebody? Until I realized, not by power, not by might. Rest in his grace. Rest in his finished works. Trust him to help you to live. As I started trusting him, I discovered that I didn't have to. You know this? I said, hey, you have lied here. You see, that shall not convert. You are converting. You know, everybody might take commandments. That shall not. I mean, listen, it's not something you have to try to be keeping. No. You see, if he's in you, in fact, there's a scripture in Galatians 5:18. It says, if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law, but under grace. Hello? I say, hello, somebody? Grace does not give us the license to sin. Rather, grace gives us the power to live above sin. That's why, if you look at Romans 6, I don't have time, I wanted to expatiate. Romans 6 from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You now said in verse 2, God forbid. That's almost like saying abomination. Like they say in my language, agbedo. Amen, somebody. That must not happen. Amen, somebody. God forbid. Amen, somebody. How shall we that are dead to sin live what? If you go down to verse 15, it says it, let's see from verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. 15 now says, what then shall we say? What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? What does he say? God forbid. God forbid. You see, sin does not, grace does not give you the license to live, grace gives you the license to live above sin. It gives you the power to live above sin. Because sin is no longer your master. The power of sin has been broken. I'm going to close in a minute. Romans 5. I'll read from verse 20 to 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might what? Abound. If you can see, the strength of sin is the law. So when the law came, the offense was still there. Transgression was still there. Amen? Amen. Now look at this. It says, but where sin abounded, where sin abounded, what did grace do? You know grace has the power. Grace, it has the power to swallow up sin. When we talk about grace, do you know what we are talking about? We are talking about Jesus. His grace personified. John 1 verse 15 says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We say what? The grace of what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is associated with Jesus. His grace personified. The Bible says, where sin abounded, grace did much, because grace is bigger than sin. Jesus is stronger and bigger than sin. Amen, somebody. Where is sin when grace is? Where is sin when Jesus is? Sin has to bow. Amen, somebody. Are you in the house tonight? 21. That as sin reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through what? By whom? Listen, grace is supposed to dominate, not sin. Amen? And I make bold to announce to you today that grace is supposed to dominate every area of your life. That is going to be your testimony from henceforth. That is going to be your song from henceforth. That is going to be your story. Listen, the finished works of Christ will be a living testimony in your life. The sacrifice of Jesus will not be in vain. His death, his burial, his resurrection shall not be in vain over your life. I want you to do something. Rise up on your feet. You are going to take this confession, and I want you to take it with faith. With what? Lift up your right hand and say after me. Say, I have been redeemed. Say, I have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Say, I have been redeemed from the power of Satan. Say, I have been redeemed from the power of Satan. Therefore, deliverance is mine. I am liberated from every power of the evil one. I have been redeemed from the power of hell and death. Therefore, heaven and resurrection is my heritage. I have been redeemed from the power of sickness and disease. Therefore, I enjoy the covenant of healing and divine health. I have been redeemed from the power of sin. Therefore, righteousness is my heritage. Righteousness is my heritage. Righteousness is part of my redemption package. I have been redeemed from the curse of poverty and lack. Therefore, prosperity and abundance is part of my redemption package. I have been empowered by God to be rich. Therefore, I will not be poor. I have been redeemed and I've been raised up to sit with Christ in heavenly places. I have divine authority. It is part of my redemption. It's part of my redemption package. I have divine authority because I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I have been redeemed. Therefore, I am restored back to God. I have favor with God. I have divine access. Divine access is part of my redemption package. I have divine access to God. I can talk to my Father. I can access Him anytime. Anytime I want to. I have divine access. I have been redeemed. Therefore, I have eternal life. Eternal life is mine. The life of God is mine. The life of God is my heritage. The life of God dominates every area of my life. I have been redeemed. I have supernatural faith. The same kind of faith. The same kind of faith that created the world is operating in my life. I have been redeemed. Therefore, I have been redeemed. Therefore, Christ is my intercessor. I have somebody pleading my case. He's always working on my case 24/7 because He lives forever to make intercession for me. I have been redeemed. Therefore, I have His Holy Spirit. I have the gift of the Holy Spirit. I am never without help. I have a helper for life. Therefore, I will never be stranded. I have been redeemed from the law. Therefore, I have power to live above the law. I enjoy grace. Grace puts me over the law. I am not in bondage to the law. Grace is part of my redemption package. I have been redeemed. I have been redeemed once and for all. My redemption is total. My redemption is complete. Christ has redeemed me from everything that held me bound. I have been redeemed unto God by His blood. Therefore, I live for Him. I belong to Him. I believe in the finished works of Christ. I live in the reality of the finished works of Christ. Everywhere I go, the sacrifice of Jesus will not be in vain in my life. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is part of my redemption, rights and privilege. And I begin to walk in it. I begin to manifest it. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. Come and lift up your hands and begin to worship Him.